of gentleness and all the parts of peace. The love that has no questions, the love that stands the test, that lays upon the altar the dearest and the best, the love that never falters, the love that pays the price, the love that makes undaunted the final sacrifice.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Do you not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together.
Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her women friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost." I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents.
Dear Father, we recognize our sins and failings in our lack of love for the lost. We have lost gratitude for your salvation bringing us out of the world. We have forgotten what it is to be in darkness, having no guidance, no direction in life, misguided love, suffering the painful consequences of sin, and leading others to suffer the consequences of sin. With ingratitude, we forgot who we are. We forgot the beautiful calling you gave us to be light of this world, a holy priesthood, ambassadors of God, ministers of reconciliation, and bringers of your good news. In overreaction to our past, we resisted your truth about who is a Christian. Out of fear or stubbornness, we pleased the world at the expense of pleasing you, compromising your truth about sin in light of the eternal consequence of facing judgment without a relationship with you. We have also resisted the Holy Spirit's prompting to reach out and to share the gospel with those in need. For many years, our lives have not reflected your love for the lost. We have not helped people by studying the Bible with them. For a long time, we have not been actively involved in helping people become Christians. Instead, we have been spending too much time pursuing misplaced priorities to the point of becoming materialistic and lazy, loving money and worldly things. We have shared the gospel with wrong motives, acting out of guilt or legalism, but without your deep concern, love, and compassion for those who are spiritually dying. We have viewed people from the outside instead of seeing what you see, the pain, hurt, and emptiness of lives without you. We have lost faith that people are open to the gospel and forgotten your words that the harvest is plentiful. Today we want to recommit ourselves to being the salt of the earth, to making disciples of all nations, and to declaring the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light.
Let's pray to God at this time. Heavenly Father, you see us men and women as we really are. God, you see past the surface and you see into the heart. God, you hear the cries of millions and millions of people every moment of every day. And yet, God, we, though we knew of this, we have chosen to think only of ourselves, God. God, we have chosen to embrace comfort. God, we have used our time to be in our homes, watch TV, be on the internet, fill our time with activities that felt good, that felt almost worthwhile. And yet in our hearts, we were not close to you, God. In our hearts, we didn't think about the people around us. God, we closed our ears to the cries of the helpless. God, in our Bible study, where it would say hell and judgment, we would gloss over and become numb. In our workplaces, we're focused on looking good, doing well, and advancing our careers, and forgotten the need to be fools for Christ. We'd rather go further than lose a job because of standing up for you. Where has been the compassion and the desire, the longing to help people to know you? A desire we once had. Where has been the decision to say, I will go today on a street and walk up and down and look a fool in the rain, stop people and be rejected because they need you? We felt uncomfortable with that. Whereas once, we would have smiled and said, yes, we will do it. God, we have found excuses. We have so many excuses for why we shouldn't think or feel for others, or why we shouldn't do what's right. We know the good we ought to do. We have let our knowledge of the scriptures go to waste. We know so much. We could guide so many people. We could answer so many questions. Yet we have been lazy and let it go to waste. God, you chose us. You called us out and gave us a new mission and a new purpose to our lives. God, we've not been happy. We've not been enjoying this selfishness, it has eaten us up. And we are not happy for it. God, we pray that today we will again discover the joy of having a true purpose for our lives. And that, God, as we look at everybody, every man or woman that comes past us, that for a moment is in our influence, that, God, we will have your heart. And where it's in our power, we will open our mouths. We will overcome that fear because there'll be a desire just to share something incredible with them. And that, God, we will rediscover that dream that we would have a meaningful, purposeful life. That when we are on our deathbeds and look back, we will say, yes, it was worthwhile. God, let your spirit burn within us today. Let us hate the selfishness. And let us desire every day to overcome the struggles and to want to share our faith with other people, God. God, we pray that you will use us once more, and that once more East London and wherever we are will resound with the sound of people coming to know you, God. And that we will be, yes, we'll be tired and we'll be rejected and hurt. There'll be pain. And yet we will know that we are doing what is right for you, God. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you are like me, there will be many things that have been said that kind of strike at the heart. We'll now take about 3 minutes where individually is a time for each of us to pray to God ourselves and confess our own sins. I'd encourage you to do so, please, silently or very softly. So we'll have about 3 minutes where we'll take some time to pray individually. And in about 3 minutes' time, I will close us out in a word of prayer. So please take this time to pray. come before you as a people, God, keen and eager to seek you, to know you, and to follow you. Father, we know that our hearts can easily become calloused and hard. And we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who came down many years ago and explained and expressed the love and the relationship that you desire to have with each and every one of us. Father, we're very grateful for the incredible opportunities we've had to know the truth, to understand the pain and the destruction of sin, and to see the wonderful gift of grace that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we have walked as a church before you, God. We have stumbled and fallen, Father, and been misdirected, O God. And Father, we come before you this morning as we have heard the sharing of our brothers and sisters, the heartfelt cry to be right with you, O God, and to put aside things that are evil. Father, sometimes we may think that this day will just be a day where we make these statements and carry on the way we're living. Father, I pray to you, God, that we will take today to reflect on the things that have been said. That we as a church will acknowledge these things in our homes, God, and as we talk with our brothers and sisters, O God. I pray that we'll have a wonderful time of fellowship after church, God, where we can encourage one another and lift each other up. Father, help us to understand the way you discipline, O God. The way you discipline, as we understand in the scriptures, it's painful for a little while. But after that, there's a time of rejoicing. And I pray, O God, today we'll put this into context, God, in perspective. That yes, we are sorry before you, O God, but then, O Lord, help us to accept your gracious hand of comfort and encouragement. I pray this afternoon we'll be laughing and rejoicing as we share with one another and enjoy fellowship, O God. Father, I pray that as we go home that we will think about you more, Father. We will have a different heart and mind towards you. Help us to understand we can't grow on our own, O God, but we need you. And Father, we need our brothers and sisters. And I pray that over the next few weeks, God, we will be involved in each other's lives, helping each other to live out the commitments that we've made this morning. In a short while, we'll be taking of the bread and the wine to remember the death of your Son and the reason why he came here on earth. Father, we hope and pray, God, that our hearts will be moved. Father, please take away the hardness that we often feel and rather fill it with an incredible sense of joy and appreciation and gratitude. I pray that we are driven by grace, God, not by rules and legalism, but because we understand and appreciate what you gave up in your Son to free us from the burden and the guilt of sin. Oh, what a joy, God, to be free from sin. Oh, Father, what a joy to have guilt removed. What a joy to know, God, that we can come before you clean. No stains, no blemishes. And Father, your arms be open as we see you on that great day. Father, we love you, God. And as a church, God, I pray you help us to take ownership of the things that are happening now, O God. And I pray, O Lord, that we will rejoice as a church when we worship you together. We love you and we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Please turn to song 1094 in the song books. Lord, I lift your name on high. 1094, before Paul Rowden comes and shares some thoughts on the communion.
Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
You know, in a moment we'll be taking the Lord's Supper together, the bread and the wine. Just want to share a few thoughts before we do that. In Matthew 26, we have the words and actions of Jesus. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, we understand that Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and that symbolizes his body being broken and given for us. And he took the cup, and we understand that that symbolizes his blood, his sacrifice of what he did on the cross, so that we could have the chance to be right with God. But he uses an expression here. He talks about, "This is my blood of the new covenant." And covenant's not necessarily something we talk about much in modern day life, but it was a big deal to our biblical brothers and sisters. And it's really kind of apt that we think about the covenant at this time in a solemn assembly, because the examples of that are recorded in the scriptures about a solemn assembly was all about the covenant. It basically, the solemn assembly was called when the people had strayed so far from the covenant. The first thing they do, they came back all together and they acknowledged the fact that they strayed. They confessed their sins. They prayed for forgiveness. That is exactly what we've done so far. The next part was that the covenant was read out to them again. And following that, there was a renewed commitment to live by the covenant. You know, the old covenant was quite intricate and involved, but the new covenant's actually very straightforward. The Bible records what it is in Jeremiah 31 and also in Hebrews 8. It's repeated where I'll read from. This is what God said. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." No, when the old covenant was read, there's examples that the whole nation would stand up for hours, because it was such a long and intricate covenant. It was all about the laws and the details and bits and pieces like that. This is our covenant with God. It's in four parts. He talks about, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And God had moved away from a law that was all the intricate details and clauses about every single aspect of life. And he'd gone away from that to a covenant where that he will put his principles in our mind and on our hearts. It says that I will be their God and they will be my people. A real sense of wanting to be one with the people. That there's the people, I'm going to be their God and look after them and take care of them. There's a relationship. It's a two-way relationship. There's a sense of intimacy. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. Now what happened in the Old Covenant in the nation of Israel, though they were God's people, not all of the people knew God. They knew about God, but they didn't know God. They didn't have a relationship with God. And that was reserved for the priests and other significant people. Yet in the New Covenant, every single person of God's people will have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. And finally, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And God has said that, yes, he's going to forget, he's going to forgive our wickedness, but he's going to forget the sins. That we don't need to go through this continual sacrifice of blood to have our sins forgiven and washed away. It's a one-time thing. It is done for all time. You know, what's interesting about this covenant is it's all from God's side. Yeah, God isn't saying what we need to do. Yeah, he's so desirous, so filled with a fatherly love that he's only interested in what he's providing. I will make this covenant. I will put my laws. I will be their God. I will forgive them. That's the heart of our God. And even though these bits are all what God will do for us, he can't do any of them unless we give our hearts. He can't put his laws in our minds and on our hearts unless we want him to. He can't be our God unless we choose to be his people. He can't have a relationship with us if we don't choose to have one. That's the incredible thing about our God. You know, it seems appropriate as we think about our Lord, about Jesus and his sacrifice and the Last Supper. That was the very thing that brought in the new covenant. That was what it took to give us this opportunity, this chance of this kind of relationship with God. It took Jesus breaking his body, giving his blood so that we could have this opportunity. And we're used to having a time now to bring these things to mind, to bring to mind the life of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. Let's also bring to mind the covenant that this was all about. We have heard the covenant. The next thing for us to do is to renew the covenant. Yeah, we made and entered into the covenant at our baptism when we proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. That is our response to the covenant, that Jesus is Lord. And as we take the bread and the wine together now, I urge you and plead with you and ask you in your heart and mind, let's renew the covenant together as individuals, but as a body, the people of God. So we will individually make that pledge that Jesus will again be Lord of my life. Let's pray. Mighty Father, you have brought us to an incredible moment. Father God, we have acknowledged that we have broken the covenant, great God. That we have not kept in our minds and on our hearts and in our lives what we said we would do. Father, we said that Jesus would be Lord. I said it, God. I remember saying it. And yet, God, how amazing it is, God, to wander off, Father God Almighty, little by little, and to end up where we've been, great God Almighty. Father God, as you did for our brothers and sisters in time before, we thank you that you have called us to have this solemn assembly, that we can come before you and acknowledge how far we have drifted. And yet, God, we can be reminded of the covenant, God, that you offer us an incredible covenant, God, that you're so, it's so full of you and what you're going to do, great God Almighty. And all you require from us is our hearts, Father God. Father, we commit as individuals and as a body that Jesus is Lord. Father God, from this day forth, we are sorry that we have become Lord or something else has become Lord. But from this day forth, we regain that Jesus is Lord. Father, as we take the bread and the wine, help us be serious. Help us be solemn. Help us be excited, Father God, about living with Jesus as our Lord. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please turn your songbooks to 1087. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's 1087.
Jesus, keep me near to the precious cross. That's where the fountain is flowing so freely. It's free to everyone who looks to the Lord. You can see that it's flowing from Mount Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, keep me near to the precious cross. That's where the fountain is flowing so freely. It's free to everyone who looks to the Lord. You can see that it's flowing from Mount Calvary. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Wait until my longing soul shall find peace and rest. You can find it with Jesus on the far river shore. Jesus, Jesus, keep my trembling so near the cross. That's where kind mercies and holy love found me. The bright and shining star rose in the morn, for its glory from radiant heaven above. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Wait until my longing soul shall find rest. You can find it with Jesus on the far river shore. O Lamb of God, lead me to that cruel cross. That's where the fountain of love flows so freely. I need your help today, with the cross and his shadow still showing the way. In the cross, in the cross, be my
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts for the opportunity you have granted us today to confess our sins and to change. Thank you for allowing us to rend our hearts and put these things behind us. Thank you for being as gracious and as compassionate to us today as you were to the Israelites. You are a great and mighty God who has shown your infinite patience. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this and for the fact that you have sent your Son to show us the way to you. Help us each minute, each hour, each day, each week and each year to remember your sacrifice and to rejoice in it. Today we rejoice because you have helped us to understand what you mean repentance to be, what you mean metanoia to be. Thank you for the promise you give that you will bless us with the fruits of that repentance and that we will have this fruit in abundance. Help us to remember this promise and enjoy this fruit and to thank you continuously for it. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this solemn assembly. We thank you for the opportunity to confess our sins, to pray and to worship you. Father God, we thank you for your grace, for your kindness and your mercy. Father God, that you have made this day possible. Father, we thank you because you are faithful and you are righteous, that you forgive us of all our sins and you remember it no more. Father, we thank you for your prophet, Ed Anton. Father God, who used through the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and expose our sin. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the atoning sacrifice, Father God, that he made for our sin. And that because of his death, we have freedom today from sin. Thank you, God, for giving our church a second chance. Thank you that you are a God of second chances. Father, we thank you for the opportunity once more, Father God, to be free, Father God, from the slavery of sin, to come before you, Father God, to be exuberant, Father God, and to worship you, Father God. Father God, we thank you that we can uphold your zeal and your honor once more. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to rekindle our zeal for you, to love one another and to love the lost. Father, we praise you because today, God, it's a wonderful day, Father God. We know, Father God, that today, Father God, you are dancing and rejoicing, Father God. Father God, you saw us from afar and you started running and you haven't stopped running since, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that the celebrations have started in heaven, Father God. The trumpets are sounding, Father God. That the saints are jumping up and down and we rejoice with them, Father God. Father God, we thank you for today, God, and we pray all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.
We have some announcements, as is our custom. First off, I'd just like to acknowledge all our visitors here today. Thank you so much for coming. This was definitely one of those services that was kind of for the family. So thank you for bearing with us, and particularly if you came in late and you wondered what on earth is going on in here. And somebody will take time to explain it to you afterwards, okay? But it's been a great time together. I really believe a historic time for us all. It's also an historic time for two particular people in the congregation. One of them declared that his eyes had been opened and he has seen things that he had not seen before. And it's very exciting to announce that Vincent and Annetta are now dating. Where are they? You stand up. Congratulations. Fantastic. Thank you very much. We're starting to see the fruits of repentance. That's very exciting. A couple of announcements on the sheet. First off, next Saturday evening, there's a teen and preteen parenting and also a preteen event going on in parallel. So while the parents are being taught to be great parents,
The children are hopefully being taught to be great children. But that, all the details are on there. Please see on the website for more details. I'll see Barry and Nancy in the fellowship. Dave Kaner has an announcement.
Next Sunday, the Central London Family Group and the students are going to have a service on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Covent Garden area. I know it's Mothering Sunday and so on. There's going to be a big service here. But anybody who wants to come to Covent Garden is also invited to come there. 4 o'clock at the Seven Dials Club on Earlham Street. Malcolm Cross will be preaching, and it's a fantastic opportunity to bring visitors who don't know where Leighton is. So I hope to see some of you there next Sunday.
Great. Thanks, Dave. In a very little while, we will be breaking our fast together, which I know a few of us appreciate. Thank you very much. The rest of us were silently screaming for joy. Which will be really exciting. It will all be laid out on the tables. There's some soup, some bread, some sandwiches, some fruit. Just kind of, I know your mouth's watering already. Mine is. Okay, so that'll be fantastic. Parents, please get your, after the final song, or even during the final song, actually, during the final song, parents, go out and get your children. And if we can shepherd our own little flocks, okay, while we're having food together, okay, because some of our children, it appears that they've been fasting for weeks, okay, whenever we have food. So maybe that's true. I don't know. But if we could shepherd our own little flocks and go as a family to get food, and we can do manners and decorum and all that kind of stuff, that would be really, really good. We have been helped in an incredible way today by our brothers and sisters from our neighboring congregations who've come to serve with our children. So I'd really like to ask, on behalf of all of us, for the parents, when you go and pick up your children, please pass on our corporate thanks, okay? We couldn't have done this without them, okay? And please, if they're in the queue for food, let them go in front of you, okay? That would be a good thing to do. Right now, we have Barry to pray, and then we'll finish with two songs.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your sovereignty in this world. We thank you, God, that you are the author of life, that without you, God, there is no life. Father, we thank you, God, that one day we know with confidence that every knee will bow before you, even those who refuse to acknowledge you in this life, God. Father, we thank you, God, just for the unending amount of grace and mercy that you show each and every one of us, God. Father, in your desire, your heart to want to reconcile us all to you. Father, we know, God, that we don't deserve that. We don't do anything to earn that, God. Father, there's nothing that we can do, no matter how sacrificial or religious or giving or loving, God, that it is, God. We just cannot attain that. Only through your sacrifice of the blood of your Son is that made possible, God. Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity today to confess our sins and look forward, and that we can look ahead and not gaze behind at all of the mess and the chaos. Father, we thank you, God, that we can approach you with a clear conscience, not because we are innocent, but because of your Son's blood. And that we pray, God, that you will empower us to live by faith, to have zeal for you that is greater than anything else that we might have zeal for in this world, God. Father, help us not to be enamored by the world and the things of this world. And help us, God, to be characterized by our love for one another and our love for the lost of this city that you've placed us in, God. Father, may it be that when people come into this assembly, they will know that you are in our midst. Father, by the way that we are with each other, by the way that we are with them, God. Father, we pray, God, that that is revealed to them with such clarity, God. We thank you so much, God, that we've had the opportunity to fast and pray over the last 24 hours or so and really consecrate ourselves for this day, God. We thank you, God, that today together we break this fast together, and we pray in thanks for the food that we're about to eat. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please stand. This is not the last song. This is the penultimate song. Shout to the Lord. Song 1102. Shout to the Lord. Then we'll have a final song after this one.
my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have.
This is the final song. 1116, Our God is an Awesome God. 1116. God, He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome God.
up his sleeve, see angels putting on the red.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, and so you better be believing.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
And when the sky was starless in the void of the night,
our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the judgment of wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
But our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. Let's have a great time of fellowship.